This afternoon, I was back in my office praying. And I don't even know for sure why this came up in my mind, these thoughts. I don't know what stimulated them. Maybe it was God bringing some things to mind to get something across to me. Anyway, it just, you know, regardless. I was thinking about a church service I was in one time. It wasn't a large church, but it was packed. And I'm not going to be very descriptive. I'm not going to tell you when or where or the name or anything like that. I'm just going to let you know I was in this church service. And it was packed. Now, their building, or the room where they were having this service, would seat about, well, there might have been 200 people there. So, I was thinking about that, and I began to, it wasn't like I started praying, oh God, you know, one answers or whatever, but the questions were there. Because, see, I knew, unless things are changed, I know some of the things that church teaches. Now, they'll tell you, you need Jesus Christ and you need to be born again. But they also teach a lot of things that don't need to be taught. They don't do anything to, let me clarify that. They don't do a whole lot to lead a Christian into deeper spiritual growth. So I knew this, and again, I'm being very vague, all right? Because I just don't want anybody to be able to identify this church. But, you know, I'm thinking, man, you know, they had all those people there. I mean, why was it so big? Why was it so full? And man, the Lord spoke up. Here's what he said. There are people who want what they're offering. And I began to think about that, and all of a sudden I could see so many churches out there, big churches. And it hit me, there aren't as many people who want what we're offering. Just aren't. Well, that'll make your day. But I began thinking about, we've had a lot of people that have walked into this building ever since I was here as the pastor. And I've never changed the way that I teach. In fact, I mean, I'd like to think it's gotten better, but regardless, I mean, this is me, and this is the way I've been. There are people who have left, and they left for the right reasons. Maybe some folks have moved, things like that. But then there are people who have left, and they didn't leave for what you would call the right reasons, even though it may have been right for them to leave. You understand what I mean by that? Here's why. They did not want what we're offering. They didn't want it. They left. We've had people come in here and, you know, they hang around for a service or two and then boom, they're gone. I have to be really cautious about this too because some people could get offended. But I guess I could follow what I've said so far up with this, follow it up with this. All of you who are here tonight, those of you who maybe you attend regularly but for whatever reason you're not here tonight, and I don't know, I'm not asking for the reasons, but for everybody who calls this their home church, do you really want what we're offering? I mean, really, do you? Because if you do, I mean, wouldn't you make the effort to be here as much as you can? Now, I do understand that there's a lot involved with this for every person. I get it. You know, some people, there are physical issues. Some people, there are logistical issues. I get it. I totally understand. But guys, let's just be honest here. There are times over the years when some people haven't shown up just because they didn't want to. Well, okay. Whatever. As I stand here tonight, I can honestly tell you that there were times in my own life where I didn't go to church because I didn't want to. I had something else to do. And I chose the something else. But I'm talking since Kathy and I got married. But that was so rare. I mean, just so incredibly rare. As I stand here, I can't actually think of a particular incident where that happened. But I'm sure in all of the years we've been married, it may have happened. You know, obviously before I was pastoring. I ain't going to church today. But you have to. Why? You're the pastor. But there were times I didn't want to go. You know, times I didn't, you know, tired and all that. Didn't want to go, but I went. And I wanted what was being offered. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what was being offered. I wanted it, okay? Even if it was just to see friends, okay? I wanted what was being offered. And, you know, the Lord continued to minister to me about that. He said, generally speaking, people go to a church because it offers something they are seeking, and truth is not that critical. And this is why some churches grow faster. It's because the church is offering something that the people want. And so, you ever heard people say things like, I got to find the right church? Okay, but what does that mean to you? Every individual has within them, I'll say it like this checklist of what they're looking for. And when they find it, they say something like, whew, I finally found the church I've been looking for. I finally found the right church. There was a church here in Dayton for years and years and years. On the front of the church, they had this phrase, the end of your search for an old-fashioned church. Now, some of you that have seen it, you know right where it is. Yeah. Well, I think since then, you know, that sign's come down or whatever, the painting or whatever it was they had up there, but anyway, catchy little phrase. But when people, now this, again, based on how the Lord was sharing this with me, when people find what they're looking for, when they find a church that is offering what they want, that's where they're going to stay. And truth is not that critical. Look over in, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. See, there are a lot of people, Christians, who would possibly confront me and say something like, well, you know, Pastor Jim, I know what you're saying, you know, about things you teach and all that, but, you know, a lot of these churches, these big churches, the mega churches, the pastors, I mean, they teach opposite of some of what you teach. So then, in other words, what you're telling me is the size of their congregation is what determines whether or not what they're teaching is correct. I mean, that's basically the standard that you're trying to impose upon me. And so therefore, if the church is big, well, God must be moving. Well, maybe, maybe not. One thing's for sure, somebody's moving. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the devil. I mean, it could just be a bunch of people. But somebody's moving. Something's happening. I agree with it. But you know, that really kind of, it really caused me to sit back and think when he said that. You know, I'm thinking about that one church, about 200 people, and you know, why are they so big? You know, well, there are people who want what they're offering. And in my mind, I'm thinking, why? Why would they want what that church is offering? It's not, like I said, I was in the church service, and I met a bunch of the people, nice people, some of the people I knew, nice people. Just, it wasn't that they were a bunch of, you know, derelicts or something like that. They were nice people. But nice doesn't cut it. You know, sincerity is not proof of maturity. And so, why would people want that? Well, that's pretty simple. Because they don't know any better. Why is it that kids only want to eat dessert? Aside from the fact that it really is good. I mean, why is it that kids, you know, they don't want to eat vegetables? You know, they don't want to, you know, finish your dinner. I want my cookies. I don't want to eat that. Finish that. Why is it? It's because the kids don't know any better. And quite frankly, there's a bunch of adults when it comes to eating, they don't know any better. Now, it's pretty sad when, well, I was going to say something about like how adults, parents would just give their kids anything to keep them quiet. How dumb. But I'm not going to say that. So, you know, in a way, it was interesting. I don't know how to actually describe my feelings when he said that. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, well, who wouldn't want what we have to offer? But I'm thinking about other churches, similar. Oh, like Pastor Bronx Church. Now, he wouldn't get offended me sharing this. You know, the same kind of thing down there in Florida. Immokalee, Florida is a small town, but there are plenty of people to pack out his church. I'll guarantee you that. There are hundreds of people. I mean, you could have a church running 3,000 or 4,000 people easily there at Immokalee. It would be easy to do that. Well, at one time, his church was, I think, close to about maybe 150 people. Now, 150 in that sanctuary, they are elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder. Well, not 150 anymore. Why is that? It's because there are too many people who don't want what they're offering. And that's sad. You know, I have listened, I've gone to his website, and I've downloaded all of his sermons except for the past, I don't know, four weeks, whatever. But anyway, I've listened to every sermon he's posted on his website all the way up through into 2016. I've listened to all of them. So nobody can come to me and say, well, he's got some weird doctrine. No, he doesn't. Listen, why people down there don't want what that church is offering, I don't get it. Because I know what that church is offering. You know, people out there in Tulsa, why would you not want to go to a service when Gary Carpenter is teaching? Why would you not want to go to a service, and I could go on and mention others? Why wouldn't you? People don't want what's being offered. And that's not the fault of the church, although people would say it is. Listen to this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when Christians, will not endure, put up with, desire, want, seek for sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. Don't think in terms of sexual things, but after what they want, shall heap to themselves teachers, giving them what they want to hear, because they have itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. That word fables comes from the word Greek word mythos, which is where we get the English word mythology. In other words, he's saying, look, you've got people who are going to turn away from truth because they don't want what's being offered. He's not talking about people who are going to say, well, I'm not going to worship your Jesus. I'm going to worship this thing or that thing. No, he's talking about people in the body of Christ. And he's saying, look, they're not going to endure sound doctrine. They're not going to put up with it. They're not going to endure it. They're going to turn away from it. So in other words, you've got people who are going to be exposed to it either for a short time or a long period of time, and they're going to come to the place to where they just don't want it anymore. Well, there's something wrong here in this church. Okay, my question would be this. If you think there's something wrong here in this church, what is it? Now, I know you could say, well, so-and-so, you know, I don't really like that person over there. Okay, that person over there is not the problem in the church. That's just a personality clash between you and that person. If there's something wrong in this church, what is it? You know, it's just amazing. Well, something's just not right. Something's just, okay, well, what is the something that's not right? Now, I'm not saying anybody said that, but I'm also not saying anybody hasn't said that. So if there's a problem, what is it? Come on, man up. Men and women, all right, man up. What's the problem? Instead of wagging your tongue and running your mouth to everybody, there's a problem, there's a problem, come and tell me what it is. For crying out loud, I'm the guy who's the under-shepherd. In natural terms, I'm the boss. Now, I know that sounds kind of rude in a church, but hey, look, if there's an issue, say something to me. Everybody who comes to this church needs to hear this sermon tonight. And if you hear somebody, you know, tongue wagging, just, you know, say, just tell them, so, well, you need to listen to Pastor's sermon from such and such. Write this date down. In fact, the title of this sermon is, What Will You Sacrifice for Truth? Just tell them. Now, I'm going to say something that may sound odd, but there's nothing wrong with this church.
Well, now, wait a minute, Brother Martin. Hold on. I happen to know for a fact the lock on the front door hasn't been...
Now, wait a second. We're not talking about the lock on the front door. Good heavens. You know what I mean. You say, well, but Brother Martin, I'm going to get to that. Hold on. I know what you're thinking. Hold on here. I'll get to it. There's nothing wrong with this church. Now, here's why I can say that. Because if you do what you know you're supposed to do, that's all you can do, and you can't do anymore. Pretty simple. So therefore, if you do what you know you're supposed to do, there's nothing wrong. I hope that makes sense. There's nothing wrong. But here he says, look, you've got people, they're not going to endure sound doctrine. Why not? Because for whatever reason, they've made a decision, I don't want what you're offering anymore. I just don't want it. I want something else. You know, I heard somebody, there was a person one time who said, you know, there are two books that have influenced my life more than any other two books. Now, this person wasn't talking about the Bible. He's talking about, like, books that Christian people have written. And he wasn't discounting the Bible. He was just talking about books that he's read that have had, and we've all been there. And he said, the one book was that book by Pastor Dave Roberson. And the other book was, and I am not going to tell you, the such and such by so and so. Now here's the crazy thing. The book by Pastor Dave Roberson, parts of it thoroughly contradict what this other book says. There is contradiction. They clash. They butt heads. And when I heard that, I thought, how on God's green earth can you say the two positively influenced you when the one is exposing error in the other? That's weird. Really strange. But that person maintains it. People come to a point to where they just don't want to endure it. Why? Well, they have their own reasons, whatever it would be. But now look over in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And in verse 7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? In other words, you started out okay, but who came in that influenced you so much that you no longer want to endure sound doctrine? Well, somebody's influenced. Somebody's done that to the people, some way, somehow. And they no longer endure sound doctrine. Look over in John chapter 8. Now, I'm not trying to present myself as being somebody who knows everything from Genesis to the end of Revelation. I don't. I'm still learning. But I know where I used to be and what I used to believe, and I know the correction process that's gone on in me, and I know how it happened. You know, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through listening to truth being taught, and following along in Scripture and leaving everything in context. But here in John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That starts with being born again, but it doesn't stop with being born again. See, the moment that you get born again, the imagery is you're still in bondage to something. Well, generally, that's, no, 100% of the time, that something is wrong belief. Because when you first get born again, you're starting from ground zero. Now, if you were raised in church like what I was, well, okay, I had a brain full of a lot of things that were true, but a brain full of a lot of things that weren't true. So I had to go through a process of re-educating. You understand what I mean? And the more truth that I've learned is the more freedom that I walk in. Well, sound doctrine and truth are basically the same thing. So therefore, if I'm not enduring sound doctrine, I'm not enduring the fullness of truth, which means I'm remaining in some form of bondage, whatever that would be. Deception. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And begin in verse 19. It says, "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners," or no more lost people, "but fellow citizens, you're born again, like the rest of the saints. And you're now in the household of God. And now that you are," verse 19, "no longer lost but born again, you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Very briefly, what this means is, the only way that you're going to grow and become this kind of a habitation that he's describing is if you utilize what is written here in Scripture totally and completely. You cannot take part of what the Apostle Paul wrote and say, well, it no longer applies. You can't take something that Peter wrote or Jude or whoever. You can't say, well, that no longer applies to the body of Christ. Because if it applied to the body of Christ then, it applies today. It doesn't, you know, fade away. It's still there. You don't have to turn to this, but in Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 10, it reveals to us that God's position is he's able to teach us, and how he teaches us is line upon line, precept upon precept. So therefore, we have to leave the Word of God in context. Now, anybody, I don't, every one of you here, it doesn't matter who you are, wherever you are, you can take verses out of context and create wild and crazy doctrines. It goes on all the time. If you doubt me, Just get on Facebook. You're going to see some of the wackiest stuff possible. Well, anyway, you have to leave everything in context, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's truth. That is sound doctrine. Line upon line, precept upon precept will expose error. Always. It will expose error. Because the only way you can come up with error is to take something out of context. But if you put it back in context, then suddenly you realize, oh, okay, well, guess that verse didn't mean what I thought. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, He guides us into all truth, teaches us all things. But now look in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, we're not going to read this entire chapter. We're going to read a verse that sets the course for the rest of this chapter. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, who possess the truth in unrighteousness. Now, I'm just going to give you a heads up. From this point on, you know, verses 19, 20, and so on and so forth, he begins describing various ways that men hold or possess the truth in unrighteousness. This 18th verse, and what you read from verse 19 on, is not the sum total of how you can hold the truth in unrighteousness. Here's what I mean. If I take the Word of God, the Bible, okay, Word of Truth, and I begin to teach something out of it that God never said. For example, if I tell you that as a Christian, if you sin, you don't have to repent. Well, see, that's not in here. If I tell you that the first chapter of 1 John was not written to Christians, it was written to lost people. Okay, see, that's not true. It's not at all true. So what's happening is then you have people, those are a couple of examples, you possess the truth, you have truth, but you're using it in a way that produces unrighteousness, if you will. Well, what would be unrighteous? Well, a simple way to define that would be anything that contradicts what God has said. This is the word of righteousness, the word of truth. So if I contradict it, that would be unrighteous. Okay, now let me just give you a heads up here. You'll get a hold of commentaries. You'll get a hold You'll get a hold of some Bibles that have like stuff written in the margins that will tell you what is written here in Romans chapter 1 has nothing to do with Christians. That is impossible. Now, I am not a Greek expert, but I do know how to look things up and leave things in context. The word of truth, the Bible, sound doctrine, the word of righteousness, that's the word of God. If I hold it or possess it, I've got it. And then if you continue to read the rest of Romans chapter 1, you realize, of course he's talking about Christians. He's using a type and shadow from the Old Testament to expose what people are doing today and telling them, just because you know Jesus as Savior doesn't mean you get away with it. You're just as guilty as they were back then. Now, you've got people out there holding the truth in unrighteousness, which is not simply or exclusively an endorsement of immoral behavior. It's that which contradicts truth. I gave you a couple of examples. There are churches which do this. Now, a lot of people flock to those churches because that's what they want to hear. They don't want to be in a church that's line upon line, precept upon precept. They don't want it. They don't want what that church has to offer. Look in Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, this is interesting what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. In verse 16, he said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" I'm telling you right now. Now, granted, enemy, that's kind of a strong word, but that's what I have become to some people. Because I stand up here and I deliver the truth, and again, I don't know everything. I'm still learning. But I know what God has done in my life, and I know what I teach. And I am open to correction. The problem is, there have been people who have tried to correct me, and they pull Scripture out of context. They completely miss it. I remember one time, you know, I've taught on Romans chapter 8 in detail. And you know where it talks about how that we know that all things work together for good to them, you know, and so forth, and how that a lot of people teach, you know, well, that's car wrecks, and that's disasters, and tornadoes, and your mother-in-law moving in. I mean, it's all kinds of bad stuff that could happen in your life. Well, no, that's not what that means. If you leave it in context, it's talking about what the Holy, you have to back up a few verses, what the Holy Spirit is praying through you, and all the things that He prays according to the will of God work together to produce His will in the life of a believer. Okay, now that's a short version. Now, I have gone through Romans chapter 8. It's hard to go through Romans chapter 8 without first going through chapter 7 after you've done chapter 6, immediately following chapter 5 when you've gone through 4. In other words, you get the idea. The whole book is in context. But anyway, I've gone through Romans chapter 8 in detail, verse by verse. Sometimes, you know, breaking the words down into like Greek and all this other. And somebody heard that. They heard it. They heard the breakdown. They heard the verse by verse. And they told me I was wrong. That no, that doesn't, that all things work together, that's not, that doesn't mean what you said. How could it not mean what I was sharing? How could it not, if you leave it in the context? And the thing is, he heard the entire teaching and still said that verse was talking about sickness, disease, and bad things and so forth. And you know, how many of you remember that song by Kenny Rogers, The Gambler? You got to know when to hold, know when to fold, know when to walk, know when to... Okay, well, you know what? You got to... yeah. You got to know when to open your mouth and just keep quiet. Because there's some... Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You guys need to learn this. There are people, Christians, they're going to spend eternity in heaven. But they can be influenced by Satan to argue a point. And they'll argue as long as you have energy to move your mouth and breath to move your, speak your words. They'll just go at it. It's a trap. Let it go. Because some people are unteachable. And if somebody's going to listen to me break down Romans chapter 8 verse by verse, almost word by word, and then still come back and say, well, it doesn't mean that. What in the world were you listening to? And this is somebody born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, supposedly praying in tongues. It's like, how do you not get this? Well, I guess maybe to that person I have become a type of enemy. Now, not a knock them down, you know, beat them over the head kind of enemy, but you understand the illustration. Now, let's think about this whole thing in fact, why don't you do this? Turn over to Luke chapter 18. And we'll get to a verse in Luke chapter 18 here in just a moment. Let's think about some things. Let's think about what it is that draws people to a church. Well, I'm looking for a church. What do you want? Well, they like a church that's got a great praise team or a great choir. You say, well, we've got that. Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about when they got the great big old platform and you've got like 8, 9, 10, 15 people up there and they are good. I mean, they're good. They're those people that are just plain talented so talented, you almost like to smack him in the head. You know, how can you be that? But that kind of a praise team, okay? People, a lot of folks really like that. I like to go there, they've got a great praise team. Or they've got, you know, great youth programs. Or they've got great children's programs. Or, well, they have a lot of things for single adults. You know, that's really important. They have a lot of things for senior adults. And you know, that's really important. The gifts are in operation. In other words, you like the show. You want to see the shaking and the running and the whatever. I mean, in other words, a lot of that stuff, guys, I'm not convinced it's truly gifts. You know, you can pray for people. If you push hard enough, they're going to fall down. A lot of people are trained to fall down as soon as you touch them. It's just the way it is. Well, you know, I like to go to that church because they've got some really neat things for like the college-age people. Or, you know, they have women's groups for all the different ages of the women.
Or they've got the men's groups for all the different ages of the men, you know, and the elder men help mentor the younger men.
And the elder women help mentor the younger women. Well, they have a whole lot of like social outreach. They address social issues. Whatever that means anywhere. I mean, you start talking social issues, well, we've got racial division and we've got poverty and we've got hungry people and we've got, yep, that's what, you're right, we do. Well, that church, they address those things. Well, you know, they've got things for single mothers. Because, you know, that's very important. A lot of times, single mothers, they feel overwhelmed. Well, I like to go to that church because it's, it fits my culture. Oh, I get it. Because everybody that goes there is black, you want to go there. Or everybody that goes there is white, you want to go there. Or everybody that goes there is Indian. Or they're this, or they're there. That you want to go there. That's why you want to go. I get it. I understand. Yeah. Well, you know, that's important, you know. I'm not even going to ask why that's important. Because whatever comes out of your mouth is a bunch of, and I won't even say what it is either. Well, you know, that church, man, I like to go there because they're with it, you know. They're with the times. In other words, you know, the pastor wears jeans and his shirt's not tucked in and sneakers when he preaches and his hair is short, kind of spiky and all that and blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about, right? The stylish people, stylish leadership. Well, I go there because it's close to home. Well, you know, they've got a lot of really neat recovery groups. There's the alcohol recovery group, the drug recovery group, divorce recovery group, family problem recovery group, family member death recovery group, recovery groups for people recovering from recovery groups. They've got everything. And I like to go to this church over here because they have great praise and worship. Not to be confused with a great praise team. You understand what I mean? You can have a talented praise team, but no praise and worship. You have performance. But I like to go to that church because they have phenomenal praise and worship. Listen, when the praise and worship is, it's like Jesus is there. Well, he said he'd inhabit our praises, right? If they're coming from the heart. But the moment the pastor opens his mouth and starts preaching, guess who walks out? That car you hear, that's Jesus. He's leaving. Anyway. Okay, now, I've just covered a list of a whole lot of things that appeal to people. I want what they offer. And a lot of churches are offering maybe everything I mentioned here. Okay, but what about the doctrine? What about the teaching? What about not just the pastor, but anybody who stands up and ministers? What are you hearing? Which leads me to the title of this sermon. What will you sacrifice for truth? You're going to sacrifice your youth program, your children's program. You're going to sacrifice the great praise team. You're going to sacrifice the recovery groups. You're going to sacrifice the old man groups, the old lady groups, the young man groups, the young lady groups. What are you willing to sacrifice for truth? Do you understand what I'm getting at? Because I'm telling you right now, there are so many. I get emails. Over the years, I hear from people. They are so focused on what they want and finding a church that is offering what they're looking for. And sadly, too many aren't looking for truth. Well, you know, our kids need to be involved. You know what? You're right. And help me understand the concept of children's church from Scripture. Where is it? Where is it? Do you honestly believe? Listen. Do you honestly believe that the Apostle Paul would have gone into, pick a church, Galatia, to any of those, and said, now folks, listen, now that you're all born again, we're going to start a church. And what we need to do is get all the kids out of here because they may disturb what's going on. I don't think so. I really don't think so. Look, I don't think it would be too inaccurate for me to say that a lot of churches turn children's church into entertainment more than spiritual fostering. Can you imagine Jesus saying, yeah, send them down there, keep them busy, give them a few graham crackers and punch until the real service is over? Seriously? Come on. What are you willing to sacrifice for truth? And too often we've had people who have left this church, they were not willing to sacrifice what they wanted in favor of what they needed. What are you willing to sacrifice for truth? Well, you know, but a small church, they don't have a whole lot to offer. Hey, we would if people'd stick around. Don't throw this one on me. Look, every pastor could do more. More praying, more fasting, more all this stuff. Every pastor could. But guys, I know for a fact, I'm not chasing people out with a 2x4. Why don't people want what we're offering? Well, we haven't had a whole lot of people come in over the years. I get it. I understand that. I mean, you can't reject what you've never heard. Pretty simple. However, there are people who've walked in here who live in this general region who could be here. I've had people come in this building and tell me, God told me this is the church for me. Okay, well, we're still waiting. You know what? I would rather have to deal with whatever it is, but get truth. Do you understand? A lot of what I've taught over the years is perfect, absolutely perfect, for anyone recovering from anything. I don't need to be in, okay, look, maybe your experiences have been different from mine. Or maybe what you've heard is different from what I've heard. But I don't need to be in a group and sit in a circle and have everybody talk about how bad everything's been in their life. And then, well, what did you do to get over it? Well, how did you handle it? Well, I just killed them. They haven't found the bodies yet, so I'm not in trouble. How did you? You know what? Your answer is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Amen. That's your answer right there. What are you recovering from? Okay, He's the answer for everything. In Luke chapter 18, look here in verse 28. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." Now, I'm not going to get into everything about, you know, well, what did he leave and so forth. I'm using that to illustrate this message. What are you willing to sacrifice for truth? Are you willing? Yeah, but right now, you know, I got a title in the church I attend. Okay. And what? Well, you know, yeah, I know. It's hard to lay down pride and give up a title and go someplace where you have no title. I've experienced that here. Well, you know, our kids really like... Okay, but what are the kids hearing in their groups? What are they hearing? You know, so what? There's a group of kids their age that they're hanging around with, but for crying out loud, parents, do you know what they're hearing in those groups? Well, you know, we left this church. Nope. Okay. Can't say that. So anyway, thank you, Lord. anyway, praise God. What are you willing to sacrifice for truth? What? Now, granted, I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, right? But there are a lot of people going to hear this that need to. There are a lot of people... I mean, there are people in this region who do get the sermons somehow. They get the sermon, download them, whatever. Like, you know, are you someplace you really shouldn't be? But I've been going to that church for 25 years. Well, okay, and what? I'm not saying that we have the best church. But what I'm saying is, you know, I want something for the kids. Man, do you realize, how do you ever get something for the kids? You know, if we were to try and start all these different groups that I've identified here in this message tonight, who's going to do it? Well, you're the pastor. Yeah, I know. Who's going to do it? It ain't going to be me. Who's going to do all this? Well, I'm not saying these things are wrong to have, but... ultimately, if that's what you're looking for truth in all the wrong places. I would rather go to a church that has very little other stuff to offer, but is delivering truth. Well, they never have any parties or fellowships, or they don't have a softball team, or they don't have this and that. You know what? Maybe at one time in my life those things might have been important. To a certain degree they were. But I would rather be in a church that's delivering truth. Even if it doesn't have everything that the other churches have. I would rather be someplace where I'm being fed from the table of the Lord as opposed to the table of man. Amen. I want to grow in the Lord. See, I believe you do too because, well, you're here. And those of you watching, a lot of you watch our services on a regular basis. Well, that says something. But I also believe this. I honestly believe in this metropolitan area, there are hundreds of people who want what we're offering. They just don't know we're here. I mean, we've got in the Miami Valley, this huge region, the population is close to 1 million people. Not the city of Dayton, the Miami Valley. And you don't think that there's a couple hundred people, 200, 300, 400 people that want what we're offering? Man, I don't believe that at all. They do. I believe they're out there. I believe that. Well, we just need to believe and pray, you know, somehow. Let them find us. Bring them in here. Hallelujah. Guys, walking the path of truth is not always easy, but it sure is worth it. Glory to God.